You can see if something's wrong, but if everything is okay, your eyes just go right on over it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You're not looking for things that are okay. You're only looking for things that are wrong.
Wrong, right.
And if it's anything out of place on the dial, it'll draw your attention and your eye right to it. Or if everything is fine, you'll just go right
so
on
So that's
by.
What we call... photographic memory.
You know what it's supposed to look like when it's right.
Right.
Well, then tell me again what the functional oblivion is. Therese Neumann doing what?
Getting up and walking around.
Just her everyday life is functional oblivion. Which is her system, her organs, and all those things are not doing the things that normal people do. And yet she's able to function.
She's not eating to function. She's not going to the bathroom to function. She's just breathing to relate to serve.
But she's conscious of it. She makes a conscious contribution. Somebody could be in a state like that and just be a vegetable.
Right.
But she is a functioning,
and that's the
operating person.
A sick person under a life support system is there, but the life support system keeps the body operating, but they can't do no work.
Right.
So the next step of being conscious, having no need for the life support system, no need for food to put in, but they're getting up and walking on and doing work. That's what Therese Neumann has done. She has mastered the life support system without having to put in a food to function, but is conscious and serving. Whereas the person who's in the hospital can get up and do no service, but he has to have the life support system, and he's staying conscious.
What is her service? Her service is the fact that she is what she is.
To serve as the example for
that, and the fact that she can exist without food, mm-hmm, and without normal bodily function.
Proof
that,
that
is what
is.
Makes her what she is. Not that she does any great charitable work or anything. She's accomplished that, and that's what she contributes to the rest of mankind. The way that you scare Hitler, you got my vote.
No, you see, the young man demonstrated a few minutes of eye movement without any respiration through the nostril, while the other young man was holding his hand over to make sure that nothing went in or went out. And after a few minutes, he pushed himself. Well, did you feel anything? The young man couldn't relate because he couldn't understand the lung. So did you feel any heat?
I don't think they're quite done yet.
Or did you feel anything running out? He said, no. He said, well, then that's what it is. He was demonstrating a breathless and a breath-free. It was less in the sense that nothing is coming out periodically within a certain given time to be conscious to relate it as a functioning being. It was totally shut off for a brief moment. You know, state where the person isn't dead, but his eyes are moving, but he ain't talking, he's just indicating he's alive. But he's actually doing what we call conscious, mechanical life support system without being impractical or vulnerable to the activity. You see, the more you study the anatomy, physiology, in the medical sense, you see what they're saying. But a pilot is the only person I know, that's when I told Jenny to go study. You're the only people I know have to think along those lines. Because they got so many things to do when flying a plane. And especially when you get up in a plane, you don't have a road to tell you to get off or get on. You better learn how to focus in a different way, you know?
You don't think about wings level, you don't think about nose level, you don't think about any of that stuff after a while.
The intuition has to kick in and take over,
yeah,
then.
She does the same things, only with her body.
Right.
Without the spacecraft.
Yeah, without the spacecraft. Takes a trip.
And that's what Superman is when he takes off at 10 o'clock. See? As soon as he drops 10 o'clock, he's done. Navigating in that life support system.
Yeah, but even Superman had a legal hoop.
Well,
thought he needed that telephone hoop.
He wouldn't be accepted walking around with his original uniform with a big S in front of his chest. Who would accept him? You're a weirdo. Send him off to Ringling Brothers. Because here he was standing there like that. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, he's not eating. You don't have to eat. What the heck? So, pumping iron? No, he's not the pump iron. But, that's it. So, he's not going to be the asset that way. So, by putting on a low profile condition of playing human like everybody, they never show you Superman ever finishes a meal. That was the first thing I used to look at the initial picture of it. He would sit down and maybe talk with Lois later at dinner. But as soon as you start, something would happen to get it, you gotta go out. But Superman would appear to be on the scene.
So he never ate?
No.
I never noticed that in all those movies. Do you remember that?
We watched a little Turkish wrestler or weightlifter the other morning.
Yeah.
He's 4 feet 9 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
He weighs 131 pounds.
Wow.
On his first lift, he won the gold medal.
Wow.
He picked up off the floor, put up on his chest, and up over his head, 385 pounds.
And that's good.
Two
miles away.
So he said, I'm going to lift two more times. Mm-hmm. So then he went to 400. And did that. And then he went to 418 and did that.
Each one was a new world record.
His own.
Olympic
record.
That's right.
They asked him in an interview how it was possible for somebody that size. When you get in a weightlifting competition, you have 60 seconds from the time a horn sounds to pick the weight up or you hit the ball. He bends over the bar and he grabs hold of the bar and closes his eyes and the horn blows. And about 2 seconds before that minute is up is when he moves. He uses the whole time. And he said he sees the bar and the weight coming up off the floor and lifting his hands.
He opens his mouth and yawns.
Yeah, he opens
too,
his mouth
before
and yawns
he even starts.
Just before he starts. But he sees the bar lifting his hands. So the weight weighed nothing. He's incredible. Pocket Hercules, they call him.
Oh.
418 pounds.
One Volvo.
One
front
end.
The front end of a Volvo.
Yeah.
But let's look at a few little facts. In terms of momentum to mass, he's not living up a barrel. He's not living up a box. He's lifting a bar.
A bar.
Good. With equi-weight that has a unique point of fulcrum. If you know how to stay in the fulcrum point and exert the pressure, the bar will automatically
leverage.
And this is the psychology of shifting the weight in momentum.
Uh-huh.
So once you get that initial thrust to the weight in that kind of a design, you got going, because you got so many feet, it'll take off before they want to come back down to the momentum.
Boy, he's got it down, because I tell you, he astounded.
And if it's that height, he knows he's got a pull enough pressure to get it at 6 feet in momentum. Now a big person may not be able to do that.
No.
Because they're already 6 foot already. And they can't take advantage of their 6 foot momentum.
Well, the way they judge in weightlifting now, say in your weight class the world's record is 500 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And you lift 500 pounds, your score is 100.
Yeah.
if you lift a little bit over 500 pounds, your score is a little over 100. It's a percentage of the existing world's record.
Right.
So that a guy in his weight class can compete with a guy in the super heavyweight class on a percentage basis.
Right.
And he cleans house. There is, in order for the super heavyweight, the Russian, to lift, percentage-wise, what this kid does, he's got to lift 850 pounds.
Right.
He can't do it. Mm-hmm. He's incredible. He just beats everybody. Big yawn and up it goes.
That's what interested me. It's the way he opens his mouth and does that yawn technique.
I've been watching him for 3 years, since he was 17.
That's fine.
And I have never seen him not lift a weight. I've never seen him unable to lift the weight that he was attempting. He's been successful every time.
Oh. That would be funny if it was a walk-in drinking drink.
Walk in what?
He was a walk in doing it for him.
Yeah.
Every time he puts it down in the yard, he comes back in. And so he yawns him back in. Or yawns him out. He yawns him in.
Samson steps in, raises the weight, and then he yawns again.
And he gets to collect the money in the collect. Sorry, yeah.
Nice deal.
I yawn it, I like it.
You can't argue, so I did it. That's neat.
Somebody didn't eat very much.
Yeah.
Ed, you're off your feet.
Hmm? Ed didn't hold up his
feet. You're off your feet. You usually can stay with me. You didn't come close tonight.
Yeah. I'm glad about that. I'll take it with us and hang down.
Eat it up, sure.
Here you go.
Before we go down the road.
Okay. They can have a snack before they go down the road. We just heat it up right.
It's good food. Sodium glutamate has been commented. And I know from the fact that the monosodium glutamate is not a preservative, number one.
Flavor
cancer. It's a substance that's been blamed for people having a reaction to certain foods in Chinese restaurants that they aren't ready for.
Which one am I? I mean, I've
what does
in
that
Chinese
mean, not ready for?
I admit I do have a trauma with Chinese food. For some reason, I don't like to eat it as much anymore. This I enjoy, but that's funny that it happened in a meal I more enjoy, because other times I've been out, you know, you've seen me order a hamburger in a Chinese restaurant, because I get annoyed with them.
Because,
so I'm sure it's perceivable.
You got shocked the very first time somebody put Chinese mustard in your food. You didn't expect that to happen.
Is that what happened
that
today with
that
mustard?
The mustard did the reaction. I mean, the first time I tasted it, it did that to me. And so every time I became very cautious enough to make sure that I didn't have the Chinese mustard in it.
And I made comment at the mustard in the soup.
So this is where you're looking at a reaction. And so your body remembers it.
Well, but I didn't want to take it. I just took a tiny bit.
But then when I realized what had happened, all I did was go and get some more mustard and put it in my food. Okay.
Usually I like the mustard taste.
To face it? To face the trauma?
Yeah, face the trauma. And so it would go away.
Then it no longer had the power over
because
you.
Because if you buy monosodium glutamate, it's a seasoning, but it's a single sodium with glutamic acid.
And that's what regulates the blood sugar. That's what they're giving to alcoholics. It helps regulate the blood sugar.
Yeah, glutamine.
You see, but it's not sodium chloride. It's single sodium glutamic acid. This is just one molecule of sodium to a molecule of glutamic acid combining to make a material which they put as a seasoning.
Just NA, no NaCl.
But I have found that many people who have this reaction were the ones in over. There may be a few that may not conform. The bulk of them all put in the hot mustard into their mouth. And the first time when they went to a Chinese restaurant, because it was there, and they put it on top of the egg roll.
I can't remember that. All I remember is I liked that.
That was how you first introduced people to a restaurant in China, because every time you come in, what you like to. Well, we don't know too much about the menu. So here you have to serve it to the waiter. He said, well, the meal is basically a soup, egg roll, and then the main meal that you want to order. But we don't want soup, we want an egg roll. So what's the egg roll? Well, you have shrimp or chicken or and then you put the sauce, the plum sauce, and the mustard. And I've watched, literally, because the thing looked like mustard, they think it's your average American mustard in that thing. And they don't, you don't tell the customer that this kind of mustard ain't the same. So bingo, you see the face. And those are the ones I've seen in people always complain they haven't reacted in Chinese either. Because some memory of that mustard.
They OD'd on mustard, right?
Right.
And you did say that when we first sat down.
With the mustard I had at lunch. And I said, yeah, I said, ooh, you got the mustard again.
Now this is more like, you know, the mustard thing goes up. This started, actually, it went in the shoulder and the head on the side. Just the side of the head, this side. At least it's not a woman problem. Not enough of that this year.
It ain't over yet.
It ain't over yet. This trip's not over yet.
Sets up an intensification of the chemicals and the liquids in your body. Therefore, what you call feel wired or stressed out is the movement of those minerals through that fluid in your tissues faster than they're accustomed to do in the other 21 days. They are moving out faster. So this is how come you can take advantage of the pressure by eating the incorrect growth cycle to move these things out. So when you feel so-called weird or stressed, what you're feeling is the hyper-movement of the pressure.
Would that imply that you need more of the biotone at that time?
That's
of
right.
The month, then?
Did you bring that in?
Yes.
How does the phase of the moon affect, say, hair growth?
If you cut your hair in the full of the moon, it grows back faster.
Fast and thick or thin?
Thick.
Fast and thick?
Yeah.
At full moon?
You grow it and you cut it in the new moon.
Oh, I thought you said slow and thick.
I'm sorry, no, fast and thick.
Fast and thick?
Yeah. And in the new moon, it's slow and thick.
I thought it was fast and thin.
Thin, I'm sorry, no. Fast and thin is in the new moon.
Yes.
And thick is in the full moon.
Thick and slow?
Yeah.
Thick and slow, full moon.
Then your hair doesn't grow out as fast, but it stays thicker, right?
Yeah.
But that's when that's before, in the period just before the full moon, and then after it changes about all?
No, it doesn't in the same period. You see, well, you're taking advantage of the pressure to thicken it up.
Okay, whether you're on either side, some people argue about the difference between just minutes before the full moon and minutes after. Is that valid?
Very, very little.
Wouldn't it be within a week either side? It wouldn't 3 or 4 days either
some
side?
Some people claim it's within 5 seconds of it. If you do certain things after it, I mean, I don't know. You know, it's a momentum thing, just like going down and up a hill. Maybe just...
Well, you also contend with their belief that there's such a thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's true. That's true. This friend of mine has been citing anecdotes for hours.
Then fast and eat bologna. You grow your hair.
Yeah, I'm a street wizard, so I don't doubt that.
Don't eat anything else but bologna. You'll have
some. Oh, eat bologna for your hair.
Yeah, you'll get some nice red hair.
Now, is that the dye, though, or is it really do something for your hair? Because you had me eating bologna sandwiches 3 times a week there.
And?
Well, actually, a couple people have said I have fuzz where I didn't have fuzz before.
Your hair will grow because it does contain more zinc.
Okay, I'll go back to
the bologna.
I mean, Angie looked at my head and said, you definitely have more hair up there and a little fuzz.
Beef
turkey bologna?
Yeah, turkey bologna.
I've been having beef bologna.
Beef bologna is good. There's a lot of zinc in the bologna.
Okay.
Why not just take zinc?
Well, somehow it doesn't seem to do the job efficiently as if it compressed the bologna mixture. Interesting phenomenon.
Different forms. It's like heme iron and those different types. Bologna absorbs much more readily out of meat.
I know. I've had to turn quite a bit to
drink full of
bologna.
Yeah, we had it.
Right, I I'd like to be full of baloney and have my hair all back, I'll tell you.
Sure.
You know, I mean people who have lose their hair are supposed to be thinkers and all that kind of stuff, I'd rather.
Possibly had what to talk to. Do you enunciate it of a resonance sonic? It ain't gonna do you nothing. So thinking of a bat and having a blueprint to make the bat come, you'll never take the bat to build the bat up to find what it leaves.
So you see, thought, word, deed of the three, the most important is the action. The other two, which is theory and commitment by contract, can all be nebulous. So Yogananda would say, if the theory and the experiment are in conflict with each other, throw away the theory, keep the experiment together, and get a new theory. So if the bathtub leaks, you can always throw away the blueprint and make a new blueprint, find out to stop the bathtub from leaking. That's a physical thing. In the end, your body has to be in the sangha mode. The action is a measurement. That's how come they say stars foretell but don't compel. It's like a thought in your head. You can see the future, but can you live it before it happens? So why waste time trying to live the future before it happens? Why not spend time living in the now because yesterday is already gone? You can't live yesterday, it's gone. Tomorrow ain't come yet. All you got is now. And if you don't breathe, the very that's what you are.
What about working toward the goal or having something in your mind, a blueprint of something and working towards it, which is still in the future, but everything that you have in your mind, you're going to realize it. So it's not really being in the now, but starting something in the now that is for the future.
I'll put it this way. A sister said to me one time, Adano, when you know God, all your desires are fulfilled, even the good and lousy ones. So no matter if you wish for something in the time frame you wish for it and it's the wrong time frame, when it does happen, you'll experience it. And in the right time frame, you'll experience it. In the wrong time frame, you'll experience it, because they all have to be experienced.
So from that standpoint, you say, why worry about thinking of tomorrow? Why not live now? Because now will already allow you to act efficiently. Mm-hmm. And that's more important. How efficient are you acting now? See, you hear this word spirituality? Good. Who is spiritual? And how would you test the person that's spiritual?
I would say everybody is spiritual.
So how are you going to test it?
We are all living souls.
Hmm?
We are all living souls, and we are all on the path, on the path, you know?
Check to see if you're breathing. Yeah, see, you gotta check if you're breathing. See? Mm-hmm. If you're breathing, there you can know by that you can live it, you have the opportunity to be spiritual. Mm-hmm. So you gotta breathe first before you have the opportunity to be spiritual. If you don't breathe, mm-hmm. no matter how much you
So.
The test.
I have not been here for a whole year. I don't know what has been going on here, but don't we all breathe? Some of us don't breathe the right way. Is it to breathe the right way, or is it to breathe at all? If you don't breathe, you know, it's not alive.
If you breathe, they keep you. Then mm-hmm. they cut the cord.
Right.
Because if the biggest dump car, they'll keep you. If you don't breathe, if you have the brain of Einstein, they'll throw in the garbage after mm-hmm. they cut the cord. So we don't concern if you're smart or stupid, is that do you breathe? Now if you do breathe, mm-hmm. then the test to be spiritual is how practical you are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, moment to moment, as long as you breathe, you got to demonstrate practicality. You cannot demonstrate fanatic action,
mm-hmm.
because that's not spirituality. So a spiritual person isn't one who is holier than thou who is trying to save the world. A spiritual person is one who lives moment to moment in a practical manner.
Mm-hmm.
But we can get carried away with a lot of illusions as what spiritual is and what a religious attitude is, and lose out on the truth about what we are.
Mm-hmm.
If you're spiritual and you're breathing, you're going to be practical. And that is all that is required for the individual to prove, because they're not fanatical in any way.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, tests have already been set up to sort out the genuine spiritual person from the phony ones. And there aren't any phony ones, there are the funny ones. Now, when you want to test a person if they're divine and they're endowed with the divinity in them, you test them by checking their immunity. Well, the biggest sin today, or misapplied decision, is an acquired immune deficiency. That's the biggest one. Acquired immune deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're suffering from that, you got all the aches and pains in the universe. So that could never make you divine.
But you can still be spiritual.
But if you have immunity deficiency, you're divine. So we test the person if they are divine, if they have immune deficiency. So is your immunity deficient? So then that's how we have to test the person to see if they're divine. Now if the person is enlightened and liberated, we check them by command performance. And command performance is they don't have but, maybe, or perhaps, in their behavior. You ask them anything and they do it right away. That tells you right away they're enlightened. They don't live for tomorrow and they're not worried about yesterday. They only live now. That tells the, that's the test for the enlightened person. The liberated person. So, when we come to look at the saint, it's not somebody who is holy and now. We're looking at somebody who is sane, S-A-N-E. That's the real sane. Because that's where the word comes from, sane, sanity, healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Not somebody that is in a cross. So if you're sane, you got your health. You got your immunity. You're practical to be sane.
Mm-hmm.
And you're free because you're living in the now. So they call you avatar, ascended.
Yeah. I think many people who ask for a child mix it up a little bit. That they're on clouds all the time and are not very practical. You know?
Well, those people are not spiritual. Those people are religious.
Religious people. Okay.
Religious people are not spiritual
there.
People.
Yeah.
Religious people want to save the world from the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And if God lives every place, how the hell does God have a chance to live? Then God is his own devil.
Mm-hmm.
If God occupy every United States? If God doesn't occupy every United States, then you're not God.
Mm-hmm.
Now if you look back, the devil didn't come at the same time as God. God exists first and then the devil came after. That tells you what? If God exists first, God is everywhere. And if the devil pop up, he's his own devil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's why we don't have no devils to worry about.
Yeah.
We only got a big mouth to worry about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No. English is a beautiful language. You don't like the word devil, right?
It's a little strange to me. I've not been raised Christian, but I've been listening to a Christian radio program and they've had a lot there.
Well, that's devil, right?
Yeah.
How do you spell devil?
D-E-V-I-L.
Good. Now spell it Chinese way.
Up to you.
No, that's from right to left.
From right to left. L-I-V-E-V.
Live. So if you didn't live, you don't got no devil. Big deal. if you live, that's English. If you spell it Chinese way, it's E-V-I-L. You don't know how to live. So pick your side of the brain you want to travel on, and you can enjoy living in the world in English. You are your own devil, and God put the devil in your mouth. See, a dog is man's best friend. Spell it backwards, still a man's best friend. Try and do that in any language. You can't do it, only English you can do it. So English will free all of us from our stupidity, ignorance, and possibly give us a chance to survive longer. We don't hope. Yes, no, maybe. Yes, they have a problem because they abuse it in a previous life, they deserve to be shut up. No, because they shut up, they're fortunate. They don't have to make mistakes no more with their mouth. And perhaps by having to go through the agony of working with the inability to communicate, they may appreciate in what culture they're in to learn to be more contributive when they discover how to bring back their own ability to speak again. So then they develop compassion. So you can't learn or improve until you be perfect. And then to have it to rise above it by our own initiative. But if you're looking for something for nothing all the time like a passenger, I don't want to get behind you really like a driver. Those are people who want miracles for everything, instant this and instant that. They're the ones who have the most agony because nature will take away all the instancy and put them in a long, stretched out agony till they learn appropriately. So, great masters or teachers of truth all come back and tell us, pick up the cross and follow us, or follow me. Don't pick up my cross because it's after that. I got to pick up my own cross. You have your own cross, everyone will pick up their own cross. Very simple to recognize the cross. It's called the scope of the heart. You know, scope of the heart, horoscope. Ain't no bigger cross than that. That's all the cross there is. It's well laid out for you to carry.
And what about astrology? I have heard that the cross that one carries is visible in the cross that is between the midheaven and the...
Make any difference. So the time you're born, for what you gotta live in your environment is your scope of the heart. All the miseries are locked up in your horoscope, so you got somebody to whip you, put a comment on your head, maybe into your own emotional process, and take you to all the different languages right to the end of the life. But you know something about horoscopes? Or spiritual process that they're called in the olden days? They're 50% negative and 50% positive. Mm-hmm. So they break even. You can't have a bad horoscope no matter what you try.
But
so 50% of the time that you live it, it's negative. 50% of the time you live it, it's positive. But the negative and the positive is not sequential. They are random. They're thrown to you to discover immunity. Because creative nature loves to gamble with individuality. That's why you and I are given individuality to play the game of the horoscope in order to experience divinity, immortality, now. Mm-hmm. But we're already immortal before we start, or we don't remember. And we'll always be immortal when we finish. Or we think we can get left out because we didn't do it right. But no matter how you do it, or wrong or right, it's 50-50, so how you get left out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the idea is, go through it and find out for yourself. And then you don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Enjoy it.
Good. Yeah. Enjoy it. It could be worse.
Okay.
See, why it could be worse,
You're never going to have a chance to do it. And because you have a chance to do it, you see the miserable and hazardous was the greatest one you could ever experience going through it.
Is the ongoing now. So don't expect to experience it before the time is ready for you to experience it in the ongoing now. Whenever it occurs in you, you'll realize that you experience it in the ongoing now. And you didn't experience it in the ongoing tomorrow. And he didn't expect it to be ongoing yesterday. But you see, that's the way we talk to ourselves. That you can only experience the condition in the ongoing now. But what is now for you is not now for the other person. Each person now differs. Simply because each person is locked in to different sonics coming in at a time where they are programmed to respond to the function of the environment. And that is why we all differ. And we all go through it in different ways to experience it. But when it happens, it all points to the same phenomenon. And what is the same phenomenon? 9 times out of 10, you hear all concocted descriptions of the phenomenon, and they have no actual proof. Realization of what the phenomena came from or was caused by and is going on inside of them. Enlightenment is the actual moment in time when the sperm bonded with the ovum and created an atomic ignition within your cellular structure of the memory bank. And you relive that moment when you are ready to relive it. It may take you many incarnations to come to grips with that one simple biological fact, that that is what you're really reliving. And when you relive it, it's the end of the journey. To him that overcome it, I don't send forth a second time. You don't have to relive the ignition of the memory bank of a sperm bonding with the ovum inside of you to see the atomic reality of how you put together. But you can create millions and millions of theoretical views of how you got together to be enlightened. What is the final formula? And the actual truth about your enlightenment is you're immortal. From the fact that you see the sperm and ovum bonding inside of you, giving you the actual integration of your atomic structure, you are God, not a God. And you'll never become a God. God has become you, endowing you with individuality to talk to yourself. What is your So sitting down, and how long it may take my brain to understand it is my journey in the now. How long it takes your brain to understand it is your journey in the now. So each one of us vary in the journey of now, depending upon how long it takes for us to understand what we are, not who we are. But we spend many, many incarnations tracking down who we are and the hues. The who and the hues, no? Whatever they want. And if you look at electricity, only important thing in the one. The both and the hamper. It's the same thing. So when you come back to the environment, what is more important than the who? But that is why Yogananda and all these men came along to give us an insight. They use the agricultural language. Today we're getting close to see that the technical language can sort out for the first time what you are versus who you are. And then when you recognize the the difference between what you are and who you are, you have one choice. And the choice is to live, to die, or to live, to live. Now, if you want to live, to die, be my guest. I'm not interested in it. If you want to live from the Lord, you're my brother. Join the brotherhood of life on the rainbow bridge of love. You can do the dance of love. Living to live is all there is. But if you want to live to die, you can't join me because you'll be given many, many bodies to confront the erroneous notion until you decide that you want to live to live. See, when the wise men spoke of what we have to overcome in order to
recognize our immortality, we don't forget the immortality. We've got the immortality, but we can't recognize it. It's just, when we quit looking for the live to die attitude and start to realize that we are atoms, endless energy, that is a funny phenomenon. It's locked up in a tissue mechanism and has to be recognized from inside the tissue mechanism. The technique is so simple. It's not going to change. Close your eyes. You see the light in there? But more than seeing thousand petal lotus and all the different beautiful views is to see how this sperm bundle in the oven and then free you once and for all from the erroneous motion that you got some place to go for that. When you see that experience inside and relive that actual memory, then you have the real experience of you God and you individuality. You're not going any place, but you're busy from now to midnight eternity with the joy of bonding in the cellular structure by playing two roles, the sperm and ovum. And sometimes you like to play the middle side of the sperm, the next time you want to play the two roles side of the sperm. But it takes two sperms to make it impossible. It takes two ovums to make it impossible. A sperm and ovum? Possible, but funny. And you can alternate between a male and female. So it still takes a sperm and ovum to make a male or a sperm and ovum to make a female. Facts. For then when you live the biological facts upon the chemistry inside, it frees you once and for all from having to say, it took me this long to get there. The moment you live it, and you never went in a place. But what is the funny phenomenon in that sensation is that actor and audience and the Oscar. Live it now. Don't be afraid. Don't compare yourself to others. There's nobody to compare with. You got right. You are living at what comprises can you have? Your 144 elements. Nothing is left out. Everything around you is made of the same system. How can they be any different than you? Only what is unique about you and the other person is individuality. Like fingers on a hand. No one looks alike. And they're all necessary to make a person. Everyone in this room is unique. Now the single one here is worse or better. But everyone is unique. It's so unique
that this principle can put us together to allow us to talk to ourselves. Then they say, free men are Lord of yourself. Sleep at night.
It's like he gets bags in our arms.
No. What?
He keeps us from getting bags in our eyes.
To prevent getting bags on the eyes. That's a very good answer. You work like crazy to keep your eyes open. For what?
So I won't miss anything.
Hmm?
So I won't miss anything.
So you won't miss anything. So why don't you go to sleep for that in the first place? Won't you be missing something if you went to sleep? No, you see how funny it is. You go to sleep to prevent bags on the eye. You stay awake so you won't miss anything.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
It's funny. You know when you begin to realize God is the biggest joker? They call him fun. But you could never get enough of him. That's the beautiful thing about English. Spell it one way, you spell it backwards, and you see you got stuck. Fun, never enough. So you gotta constantly be doing what? Make it more fun. See, that's why they say existence, consciousness, bliss. The bliss is the fun. As long as you exist. But if you exist, you gotta be conscious. Nobody wants to be unconscious if you exist. So if you're conscious to have fun, you only find out what. There's never enough. So you're constantly trying to do what? Keep the existence going with your consciousness to have more fun. And fun can only be more as long as things change. If things do not change and they stay stagnant, there is no fun and there is no existence. So you see, it's a peculiar principle, and sometimes it's the most frustrating principle, but there's no better one. Because within its makeup, an ongoing immunity is released from the incapacity. There is no end to the immunity within the encounterer. There is no end to the creativity. And each moment you live it is unique. for three reasons. One, each moment is unrehearsed. Each moment is ever new. Each moment is unanticipated. And each moment is opportunity. Therefore, you can never get more with you. Can you get bored with you? Good. Really good. Think of it. We don't like to do this because it may seem very strange and practical. We would like to go out and find somebody else and kiss them, right? But ask your tongue. Where is it kissing all the time? Inside your own mouth. Privilege as who you are. Not what you are. Who you are provides that privilege for you to motivate the who in you. So the things you like to experience in the who in you. Mm-hmm. The what you are doesn't need any motivation, because what you are will always be here until midnight eternity. So when you take a bath and you look in the mirror, you see what you are. But you can't go on the road until you put on the legal who. But you can get trapped in the egotistical who, and that's not fun. So the legal who is necessary in order to motivate it, all the other problems that you reach out for our body to motivate the legal who. But then you understand that the whole thing is sustained for the what you are, you don't panic in the legal who either. Because the law that underlines what you are is very simple. All needs are fulfilled, not wants. So from that standpoint, the legal who doesn't become an egotistical who no more, and then the actual what you are begins to move the principles for your existence to continue in the need level, not in the want level. The want level is surplus. You're always afraid that you might get more. But in the need level, you're getting exactly what is necessary to you. Then that is what throws us back into the level of discovering the difference between who we are and what we are. And in the end, we end up having to accept what we are and live the rules are factual about what we are. So that is why nature has it set up like that. It's called the unconditional love. What you are. Or the non-violent life. But if you worry about surviving in this environment, you have two choices. One, if you were to go out and sit down at a park bench and don't do nothing, somebody's going to want to put a shovel around you. Because they don't want to leave you out there to starve or freeze. So you, no matter how you try to be uninvolved in life,
just to be simply you. No one will let you sit down on a park bench day or night without bothering you. Even a mouse may come from inquire, or a lizard. So you see, you're more important. It pushes you to look at what you are. So that's why the realized masters tell us, after you realize what this universe is all about, can enjoy living now. Mm-hmm. God, that's the whole purpose of God providing the opportunity to entertain himself through individuality in the now. Fantastic passage, but it's great. Let me ask you, I can show the village now. If you could see within yourself all the cosmic geometry of what you read about the beingness, would you exchange it for one moment of air?
I'd keep my air.
You keep your air. Join the gap. So would I. Because with the air, I can continue to function and enjoy the series going on in my head. That's why Jesus said, pick up the cross. But then when you look at it again, in a deeper aspect, breath of life is a gift of God to himself in the form of manifestation to experience individuality. So from that standpoint, breath of life carries the entire blueprint of this whole cosmos locked up in it. If the mechanism will only sit down and be quiet, the breath of life will reveal the whole blueprint. But we don't realize that until we are forced through trial and errors to come to that understanding. And as soon as we come to that understanding, which obvious and we call it hologramic awareness. It's all right to sit down and experience it, but it's not truly God. Truly God is to get up and work with it, function in it. So you have two levels of awareness about what you are. A level of no motion to see the internal reality of the atomic structure. And a level of active movement within the atomic structure as the coexisting partner. So by virtue of that, creative intelligence surrounds us here as the air, lives inside here as little me in the form of air, and build up all kind of illusion inside of here of how I get from here to there. But if you recognize the process, then you don't worry of here there. There's no more here there, it's here. But you have to learn to relax in it, to let it fall. So all the techniques that have been handed down When you begin to understand them, they only represent exhausting figures. They're all valid, they're all good. It's up to the individual from whatever moment in time they come into it, or how they come into it, to go the exhaustion process of it. So if the exhaustion process of one school is 10 years, fine. Another school is 15. Just go to it and see for yourself within the time frame of the exhaustion process, and the end result is delicious. Because what you're going to see inside, in all the different ways you approach it, is the sperm bonding with the ovum. And if you can recognize that immediately as the vortex of the experience you're working towards, then close your eyes and activate it from the memory. Simply because why? You did it already. But you were never told that that's the actual journey you're going back inside to look for. You have to go all around about in all kinds of charades to come back to that simple reality of yourself. So when you're directed to look for it inside and know that it's the journey, then all of the geometry starts to fall into place for you to experience. Well, one of the greatest realizations is the memory is there in the formation from the fetus to an adult, but it doesn't have the comprehensiveness to integrate at that level because it didn't mature out with a comprehensiveness. It has to take the body form to be an individual to acquire a comprehensiveness. Now when you shut down the mechanism as an adult, looking into the journey that you're actually pursuing to relive the actual memory of the banking, bonding, the comprehensiveness shoots out and envelopes it. Then they say, you are wise. I live and die daily in the Lord, to what Paul would say. I don't like the word die because it has a draining effect on the mechanism. I'd rather live and relate daily in the Lord. That is the ongoingness of living to live. But when you use the words I live to die, you can break down. Just as if you say you're 20 years old versus 20 revolutions around the sun. 20 years old, you get weak and right out. 20 revolutions around the sun, you stay healthy and strong. So English is one language to help you get sick, help you get well, say good.
Someone asks you how old you are, and you say, and then you mentally add revolutions around the sun. That doesn't really count, though. Of course, you didn't say the word years.
You know, you just said I'm 60, 40
years, whatever it is.
And
you said to yourself, revolutions around the sun. But
that's
just your thought. That really
doesn't help. Now we're going to put it to the test, objectively. See, kinesis is a very accurate way to see how you like yourself compared to people. Just say you're 60, then say you're 60 years, and say you're 60 revolutions, and see which one of them will work.
Okay, but I'm not eating any of those.
All right.
I feel like revealing my age.
Okay, we'll use 20.
All right.
Say I'm 20 years old. One revolution.
Said you were frequency friendly, that'd be a different thing. Because you can establish your frequency by taking the day you're born, the month you're born, and the year you're born, and reduce it to a certain number. And that's your actual frequency in respiratory bonding with the atomic relationship of your structure. And that's the mortality of the flesh. By spoken word, I just make it unstructured. Then I have the option to drain it or weaken it by calling myself 20 revolutions or 20 years. 20 years will drain it or fast. 20 revolutions will sustain me ahead of a long time. So,
even if somebody thinks it's funny, I'll have to say
no. So, when anyone asks you how old you are, you can very simply say, I speak in reference to the planetary momentum. I'm 60 revolutions around the sun. That way, they are forced to accept 60 revolutions, as say, you say, 60 years roughly. But if you put it that way, I speak in reference to planetary momentum, then you give your number and how many revolutions they've got around. That's not weakening. And you have another option. You can answer this way, my lawyer says, that my correct age is 60 revolutions around the sun. No, sir, my doctor says. My lawyer says.
Why?
No one wants a legal suit. You being sick for no reason about it, you say your doctor says. You see, we go into a restaurant and order certain food, and the person, the waitress, gets back and worked up.
Gets kind of worked up.
And so I make the comment, I'm sorry, my lawyer wouldn't allow me to eat that stuff. But if I said my doctor don't allow me to eat that stuff, it's kind of pretty weird.
Oh, we'll get to that. Gary would love that.
He could tell you, he's in there.
He does it all the time. I definitely have noticed the quality of service has improved since you've been doing that.
It's funny. He's telling the truth because even the owner wants the service now.
One of the person that used to be so rude to us at one time actually came to the health food store where I worked and said she's going on vacation and she hopes that they'll be patient with the people. They'll take care of us while she's gone and she'll be back in 2 weeks. A special trip to work.
To tell you that.
Well, it's funny. Before you can say your doctor says and they'll pay attention to you, today now they think you're weird and say, well, we don't want to listen to you. So I said, my lawyer said, nobody wants any legal battle. Yes, no, maybe. You see, most of these statements are so one-sided. I'm not taking into consideration that the human mechanism is not operating like that. And we are the result of a very unusual type of program that makes us vulnerable to words like that. And in actuality, if we look at what we are, not who we are, those ideas doesn't break into our system and break us. See, because what you are will always sustain you. But then you start looking into who you are, you're going to feel pretty nuts or feel sick. And then it's the who that is really causing this peculiar reaction. That's why the wise men tell us that placebo is a powerful principle. Mind over matter. It can make tremendous changes in our lives. But the wise men never got to tell us that placebo also can let you down and make a mess of your life. It's not necessarily mind over matter. That's where we have to part company now with placebo and go to what you are versus who you are, because who you are can be fostered by the placebo effect, a mind over matter function. And that again is the suggestion and the victimization or abuse of programming into your system. When you look at what you are not vulnerable from that anymore. And so, you take the word matter and break it down to look for what you are. This is matter. M represents moving. A represents atoms. P represents timeless. T represents transforming. E represents emission. R, recurrence. This is a moving atomic, timeless, transferring, emission, recurrence machine. Regulated by mind, M, which is memory, more of me. Ain't nobody here but me. Thou shalt have no regard before me. I can't stand to think about me anyhow. That's what the M is for. I, internal, memory internally, doing what? M, navigating. D, desire. Memory is internally navigating whatever you crave to do with matter, a moving atom, timelessly transforming emission and currents. So what matter is going to be a victim now, once it knows what it is versus who it is. It will never be a victim of that kind of a program anymore, because it's not catering to the who, it's catering to what it is. So for that matter, any time you have to face life around you, you're living peace. You're not looking for peace. You're not reaching out for peace. You are bringing peace by being peace itself. Your cup runs over, not by something poured into you, by something that is gushing out from inside of you. You are the living gusher, not the living poured in container. So when you pour in something, that's mind over matter, that's placebo. When you're inwardly gushing out, you're the intrinsic qualities of life held together by its own potential. Therefore, it isn't being tricked into nightmares or emotional stresses or any type of fixation. It is what it is, the functional principle of life. So you have to look at it more from the yes, no, maybe, and see in the time frame these things fit. To function for you, to give you your livingness in the form of health. then you're no longer suffering from stresses inside that are tearing you up. They don't exist anymore. So the more you understand what you are, the more you live the life of sanity, save sanity or health. When you don't know what you are, you're living the illusion and the fear and the frustration and all the suggestions in the lockout. With a few minutes of inward silence, and I'll give you all a boost of charge for a leave. Then I've long been meditating.
So muscle cramps are caused by
lack of calcium.
So you can have. Of course, it might be involved with calcium, but they say if you short on potassium or vitamin E or magnesium, you can also have muscle cramps. But they probably regulate since the magnesium works with calcium.
What are the seven basic minerals that are in your skin? They gave you that in class four.
Yeah, I've forgotten. Yeah. You see, calcium.
Silicon
is not in your skin. Silicon.
But not silicon. Silicon's in the bone.
You don't have iron.
No, that's in the blood. That makes silicon.
When you break a bone and you don't have silicon in your bone.
Yeah, it's got to be, but you need calcium in your
calcium bone. Is the brick. Silicon is the cement. What good is a brick without cement?
It's in the hemoglobin in the bone. It's made right. The iron, it has to be in the bone. It's made right inside the bone.
Friend, bone marrow is a total separator from calcium for the iron because the two are antagonistic to each other. And that's number one lesson you learn in chemistry.
But it's still...
As a Jewish guy can't get together with his beef and his cheese on the same plate.
Well, it's a separate part of the bone. But it is. They make it. They made it.
In the bone has... doesn't have, it doesn't come in contact with the calcium.
Okay, no, I'll agree with that, but it's still in the bone.
Don't tell me it's in the bone. A tubular substance conveying another material and having an insulator doesn't make it in the bone. The bone happened to be a carrier for iron, but it's not in the bone. Is the water in the pipe? Or the pipe will carry for the water.
Okay.
Okay. Ah, yeah.
Okay. Okay. I see that.
You see that. That's what I'm talking about when you get down to the nitty gritty head of it. A lot of things on there. So you got iron, you got carbon, you got silicon. Now you got two more to go.
Two more on the skin, so?
Under the skin, man.
Hmm.
You've had seven in the skin, you got five under the skin.
We're going in five.
Inside your body, you forget outside, you'd be a dead person.
If you get it
outside, you'd be a dead person.
Outside of your
skin, you're a dead person.
Outside of your skin, really?
What do you think you're going to embalm me with?
Chlorine?
Isn't that what causes osteoporosis, poor transport of fluorine?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not in the skin?
No, because you're not being in the skin, which.
I didn't think so, since it works with iron, for oxygen. Your oxygen can absorb oxygen.
So it's all beneath your skin.
Manganese.
Yep.
Let's see, is that seven now? Is that still six?
No. Mm-hmm. Seven outside and five underneath is 12.
So did we name the seven on the outside or did I just get six?
Repeat it again, you see the same.
Okay. Internally we have calcium.
Calcium, sodium, chlorine, phosphorus, sulfur. Give me the last one now. Magnesium.
Magnesium and phosphorus, sulfur, you said.
And potassium.
And potassium.
Those are your seven on the outside. And the five inside is iron, carbon,
fluorine.
Silicon, fluorine.
And
manganese.
No, that was on the outside.
Magnesium is on the outside.
Oh, then I read the same one. We're back to this one.
You got seven outside, man.
Yeah, but I named manganese as one of those seven, so I misnamed it. So on the outside.
If you have calcium.
Yeah.
You have
calcium and magnesium. Phosphorus and sulfur.
Just let it go.
Chlorine. Potassium.
Your two peas are on outside, man. So is the two peas.
Oh, phosphorus. Phosphorus, okay. Phosphorus. And then I'm missing one.
If you have two peas on the outside, do you have two C's on the outside?
So I named phosphorus already. I named
it's very simple to remember. Seven, two C's, two P's.
Two C's and two P's.
One M. Now, figure the other two out. One S.
One S, sodium.
both of
himself.
Two S's.
Two S's.
So in itself. So you got two S's, two C's.
Two P's.
Two P's, so that's six. And then what's the odd one now?
An M.
One thing I want you to repeat for me is what goes in the prickly pear chutney.
Prickly pear chutney. Uh-huh. You can put the prickly pear with the onion and the mushroom. Uh-huh. And you can put the cactus honey. Put the garlic, ginger. Vinegar. Either ghee or peanut oil.
And use the skins.
And if you want to go a little horseradish, you make it delicious.
Ah, horseradish, okay. Oh, I've got beet horseradish in here. It's purple. It'd be pretty to match the pears.
Yeah.
The prickly pears have to be peeled.
Peeled and deceased.
And you just mix it together and you don't cook it or anything. Or you, no, you'd have to cook it.
No, you got to cook it.
Okay. Then the skins can be used for the vinegar.
Yeah.
Okay. Just, and it'll ferment on its own. Okay. All right. We'll see.
Yeah, right. Let's have a few minutes of meditation and then not be talking. Put myself with the cheese to the bread.
Susan, I don't know how to turn this off.
What?